All right, what a cool moment, huh? Seeing somebody get baptized, got to get my sleeves right and everything. But you know what? That's a great thing. But anyway, today we're continuing in our series called Greater Things. Hello, we just saw that, right? Greater Things. And what we've been talking about as we're in week three, what we've been talking about in this series, if you're just joining in, is how God is ready to accomplish greater things in and through your life. And how God is ready to accomplish greater things in and through this church. And so how can we get ourselves ready to accomplish God turning on the water faucet, basically, and doing that in and through us? That's what we're talking about. How do we prepare for greater things? And we're walking through the story of Elisha, who was the Old Testament prophet, the prophet Elisha. Not Elijah, there were two guys. Elijah was the mentor, and Elisha was the guy that came after him. So we kind of talked about that a little bit. But the reason I like Elisha's story, first of all, he's not a prophet that many of us maybe know his story a whole lot. And yet he recorded more, there's more recorded miracles in the Bible that he performed than anyone except for Jesus. Crazy. But the reason I love his story is because Elisha was the most average, the most normal, guy. He was middle of the pack or maybe in the back of the pack kind of guy. In fact, he was living at his parents' house. He was working on his parents' farm, and in week one, we talked about how, you know, he's just plowing the fields, you know, going back and forth, probably looking at a bunch of oxen rears, right, and smelling some manure and wondering, God, how could you ever use somebody's life as monotonous and as boring as mine? And yet God, not because of who he was and how good he was, we saw how basically, because of his faith, how God raised him up to do some incredible things. And in week one, we talked about burning plows. We burned some plows. And we talked about in order to follow God's call, in order to follow God's direction, sometimes we've got to burn, not literally, but burn the plows of what's behind us in order to step forward into what God wants us to do next. And we saw that you don't have to be a superstar to be used by God. Amen? You don't have to be a superstar to be used by God. In fact, God uses people who are surrendered to him and who are available to being used. God does a whole lot with some empty vessels. We're going to look at that today, too. Last week, we dug some ditches. We dug some ditches, and we talked about how only God can bring the water. Only God can bring the blessing. But sometimes God calls us to do our part and to dig some ditches in preparation for the work that God is wanting to do in our lives. What ditches is God calling you to dig? And so as we dive in today, I think this message is a message that I think is going to speak to every single one of us. But maybe for many of us, it will speak to us in an even more tangible way. Because how many of you know that I think all of us go through seasons or maybe situations of our life where what we have doesn't seem to be enough? Can you relate to that? Or what you have doesn't seem to be enough. Even if you won the lottery last night, right? No resource, right, is limitless, right? Did you hear the taxes on those things? You're not going to get as much, right? But here's the thing. All of us that go through seasons where what you have isn't enough. In fact, it may be a situation where there's a need in front of you, but all you see around you is a bunch of scarcity. Great big need, and there's scarcity. I don't know. We're not going to have enough. And maybe you came to church today feeling like that, maybe as a parent or as a leader. Maybe you feel like you're just kind of overwhelmed by life and overwhelmed by the responsibilities of everything that feels like it's on your shoulders. And you showed up today kind of feeling like, God, I just don't think I have enough. I don't know if I'm enough, right? Maybe for some of you today, you're in a situation where you don't have enough resources. Maybe you're in a situation where you just feel like you don't have enough talent or expertise to do what God wants you to do. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough time. Hello, right? All of us. You know, time is such a limited resource. And it's one of those things where I want to show you today a few big ideas from the story we're going to look at. But let me go ahead and give you the first big idea up front that I want us to grab hold of in our lives. And it's this. Number one, that no matter what need is in front of you, that God cares and God provides. No matter what need is in front of you, God cares and God provides. I've seen this over and over and over in my life. And here's what I know, is sometimes we look at certain things in our lives that seem so small and we wonder, does God even care about this? Like this math test that I've got, does God even care about this? This meeting with a coworker, this situation, this seems so small that why would God care about this? But I want you to know that no need is too small for God to not jump into it and to get involved. God cares. But at the same time, sometimes we face some really, really big needs in our lives. And what happens is the temptation is to zoom in on that huge problem in front of us, and we start to think that it's everything. There is no way that I can overcome this. But I want you to know that no need in your life is too big that God can't overcome it, right? God is greater. God cares, and God provides. And today we're going to look at a story where God used Elisha once again. And this time, he comes across this woman who is facing a crisis situation. It's a crisis situation where she needed God to provide in a very significant way. And so in order to, let's go ahead and check out the story, 2 Kings chapter 4. If you have Bibles, smartphones, the words are going to be on the screen. You can follow there as well. But 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's check out the context and the background in verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. He comes to the prophet and says this, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Oh my goodness. Talk about an incredible need. You know, I was thinking sometimes in our lives, there are people, everybody has stuff going on in their lives. And sometimes we don't even know all the things people are walking with in their lives. But we go around and we go to the cash register and how you doing? I'm doing fine. How you doing? I'm doing fine. When sometimes there are people that are going through some very, very difficult things and they need the hand of God, they need the presence of God through God's people at work. But sometimes we don't let people in on what's really going on. But here, this woman just, she spits it out, right? In one verse, we get all this stuff of her life, almost like this heavy weight. And you see this lady who's in significant need. And so here she is. She's found herself in this crisis because of something she didn't see coming, something she didn't plan, something she didn't expect. In fact, we find out that her husband, who had been part of Elijah's prophetic ministry, that he had died. He passed away. How many of you know that when somebody passes away, their debt doesn't die with them? It's a tough thing. And so her husband dies, but then the debt carries on and it's passed on to her. And here she is in this society as a woman with not much ability to provide for herself in this culture. And so she's looking around and thinking, like, I just lost my husband. I don't have enough. I don't have anything to provide for this huge need. What am I going to do? I don't have enough. In fact, some Bible scholars think that this woman, which, by the way, we don't know her name. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. I think sometimes God specifically leaves out people's names in the Bible so that we can see ourselves in their story, so that we can place ourselves and say, you know what, I've been there. And so but some people believe that this woman might have been the wife of the prophet Obadiah. And Obadiah, it would make sense if they were in financial need because Obadiah had stepped out in a great way to support and care for and to provide for 50 other prophets. And so here this problem is. She finds herself in deep debt without her husband and with no way to pay for it. Let me give you the picture even more, though, because just picture this young woman. She's probably, some scholars believe that she was probably in her 30s, maybe early to mid-30s. She's got, her husband has passed away, something that she never planned, something she never wanted, and here she is, she's unable she's got no chance, no ability to provide for herself, except the only way to kind of do that without their husband was to kind of sell herself off physically, if you know what I mean, and she's like, I'm not doing that. And so no husband, no ability to provide income, and now her creditors are coming to take her two sons, all she has. And it's because the law said back then that if someone was in debt and they couldn't pay, that you could actually take on the sons as slaves. And the sons would be slaves for the creditor, and they would be slaves under them until the year of Jubilee when all debts were canceled. That'd be cool to have the year of Jubilee, right? You know, it's like, man, all debts are canceled. That sounds like a good deal. But very literally, here this woman is with no hope. Just imagine, she's got no hope. In fact, she's lost so much, And yet here it is, it looks like she might just lose everything that she's got left. Significant need, there's scarcity in her life. I don't have enough. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes in life there we face, I think sometimes we get really worked up about some of life's small problems, you know? We start to sweat a lot and get upset about some things that maybe aren't really a big deal. You know, like when somebody pulls out in front of you, you know, in traffic, and all of a sudden your day's ruined, right? Or you go through the Starbucks drive-thru and you ordered a non-fat caramel macchiato with no whip and they put whipped cream on that thing and your day is ruined, right? Sometimes we sweat about the silliest stuff, and stories like this remind us of what's really important in our lives, you know? And so here this woman is. It's one of those things where I imagine, as I was reading this story, I was thinking, you know what, I bet that a lot of people in here can relate to her. That maybe we haven't lost a husband, maybe we haven't lost, you know, all these things, but I bet that we can relate in the sense that maybe for some of you, you are going through or facing a great need. Maybe it's just on the horizon. Maybe there's a problem in front of you right now, and you're looking around and you're saying, you know what, I don't seem to have enough. I don't seem to have enough. Or maybe it's a relationship that's struggling, you know? And it's like, I don't know if this is even going to work out. Like, I don't know if we're going to have enough, right? Or maybe there's a friend or a family member who's going through cancer treatments and you're praying for them and trying to figure out how to help them, but you just feel like you don't have enough and they don't have enough and there's just not a lot of enoughs to go around. Or maybe you're in a time right now where you feel like you're in a season where you just need an open door. You just need an open door, but all you keep facing is dead ends. Or maybe you can even relate to this financial situation where it's like, you know what? I feel like I've been there before where I feel like I'm in a hole and I don't know how I'm going to pull myself out of it. It feels like I'm chained to reality and I need to be set free. So here, I want you to know this first truth. This is not just preacher talk. I want you to know this. Number one is that when no matter what need is in front of you, God cares and God provides. God cares and God provides. I've seen God do that in my life over and over and over. And so this woman comes to Elisha with a big need, and here's what Elisha says, verse 2. It says this, Elisha replied to her, how can I, what does he say? How can I help you? How can I help you? Tell me what to do, tell me, what do you have in your house? He said, your servant has nothing there at all. She replied, or she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. You know, it's interesting because when you find yourself, when you don't have what you want, when you find that you don't have what you want, you find out in those seasons that God is what you really need. You know, when there's a scarcity in your life, it's like, man, we don't have what we really want to accomplish what we're supposed to do. Or to dig out of the hole that we're in, you find out in those seasons that God is what you really need. You find out in those moments of scarcity that God is your source. And because God is your source, anything is possible. When you're connected to God, your source, God owns every resource in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And so if we're connected to God, our source, God has the ability to distribute resources, right? To resource us in the way that we need it. And so that's why this woman, she comes to Elisha. She comes to the prophet because she's bringing her need before God. She's saying, look, I need God to come to show up, and I need God to come through. I don't know what's going to happen if God doesn't do that. And I want you to notice how the prophet, Elisha, how he responds. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that, but I'm so glad it's you and not me. He doesn't say that. You know, it's not this like non-compassionate, washing his hands, right? You notice he also doesn't say, I'm so sorry that's going on in your life. I'll be thinking about you. I'll be thinking about you. You know, isn't that funny? We say that sometimes. I'll be thinking about you. And I get it. We sometimes don't know what to say, but what does that mean? I'll be thinking about you. I mean, I hope when I'm going through something difficult that somebody isn't just standing there beside me going, you know, like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. Like, well, don't just think about me. Pray for me. Do something, right? Do something to help me. And so that's what Elisha does. He says, how can I help you? How can I help you? It's an action statement. How can I help you. This is a great tool that you can use in your life. When somebody's going through something, how can I help you? You know, how can I pray for you? In fact, Elisha, he's about to be used by God in a significant way, really only because he made himself available to this woman and for God to use him. Remember how we talked about how God uses people who are surrendered to God and available to being used. He makes himself available. And so here's what I think this can mean for you, that what if you woke up every day and you just prayed a prayer or something like this: God, I pray today that you would help me to be available. God, I'm available as your representative. God, show me needs that are around me that I wouldn't otherwise see. And use me, God, to be your presence in the lives of people. Show me needs around me, God, and use me. Use me to be your presence for people. Man, that's a prayer that God will answer every time. You know, and here's what's fun about that is when you start praying prayers like that, all of a sudden you'll come in contact with a coworker or a family member or a friend, and they'll start to share stuff with you, and they'll say, "Oh my goodness, my kids are driving me crazy today. I feel like I'm about to pull my hair out," right? Or you know, I'm caring for just my aging parents right now, and it's just putting a strain on us. And so in those moments, you know, well, stinks to be you, you know. No. How can I help you? How can I help you? And watch what God does, because God will start opening up those opportunities. And this is where, to me, following Jesus becomes so much more than a Sunday thing, right? This is when following Jesus becomes an adventure, because you get to realize, whoa, I just prayed that God would open a door. Whoa, I just said, how can I help you? And all of a sudden, you find ways to pray and to be used by God. And even if you can't meet that need directly, you can be the hands and feet of people in your sphere of influence. And you realize, wow, even me, I'm being used by God. And see, the thing is, God, just watch how God will bless you to be just a conduit to help lift a burden for people, to help be a blessing for people, and even to be the hope of Jesus for someone. How can I help you? So Elisha then asks her this really wise question. He respects her dignity. And here's what he says. He says, well, tell me what you've got in your house. In other words, what resources do you have to work with? You know, this is like, instead of just looking for a handout, he's like, look, let's talk about the resources that God has given you, and let's trust God to meet your needs with the resources that you already have. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like, she's like, well, look, I've got nothing. I have nothing at all except this small jar of olive oil. I almost picture like a can of baby food. You know how small that is? She's got this little small jar of olive oil. You know, isn't it interesting that when we're hurting, or when we're in need, that sometimes all you can see is what you don't have, you know? Like, instead of taking an inventory of all the blessings that God has put in your life and your family and your situation, and, oh, I've got this and I've got this, you start to look at all the things that you don't have, and you start to say, if I only had this, if we only were there instead of here, if this situation was different and if we only had that. And so this woman, all she saw was this gap, this deficit, this need in her life that was bigger than she can fill. And so she's coming to God and she's like, Lord, the need in my life is greater than what I got. You know, when we feel down in our life, I think it's easy to zoom in on all the things we don't have. And those things start to become huge things that seem insurmountable. Like, I don't have enough money, God. Like, we need more money. I don't have enough. Like, I don't have enough time. Maybe we look around at what other people drive and what the houses that other people have, and we say, well, I don't have a nice enough house, God. I mean, how could I invite people over to my house? Or how could we even host a refresh group? Because we don't have granite countertops. And, you know, like, how could God move without granite countertops in a basement, right? God's working just fine in our group. We don't have granite countertops, and God can use you. Wanted you to know that. Or maybe, have you noticed that we can walk into a closet that's full of clothes, especially women? We walk into a closet that's full of clothes, and we look around and we say, I don't have anything to wear. I don't have anything to wear. And yet, it's kind of like there's a small village in Africa that we could clothe with all these clothes in the closet. I don't have enough, right? It's so funny to me because I think sometimes even as a church, as a newer church, I think sometimes it's easy to look around as a church and to zoom in on all the things that we don't have, right? Especially in our season of being portable, right? It's easy to look around as a church and to say, well, we don't have a facility yet. We don't have a building yet. And God's like, where are you right now? What are you in right now, right? Like, we don't have a building yet, and so God can't fill in the blank. Like, we don't have a building yet, so God won't fill in the blank. We don't have a building yet, but someday when we have a building, then God can turn on the water faucet, and there's so much that can happen. And I think the thing is, when in reality, we just had our church conference this past week, and I was reminded as we're hearing reports from all different churches that, oh my goodness, God is alive in this church, right? God is moving in this church. Even in our season of portability, life change is still happening because the church is not a building. Amen? Sometimes, and this is an important lesson for us, when we move into our future church home, the temptation for every church is to turn inwardly and to start saying, oh, the building, we're here to take care of the building, right? And to make that the mission. When the mission of the church is not about brick and mortar, it's about people. It's about lives being changed by Jesus. The mission of the church is about living out the gospel and sharing the gospel. And so we're going to have a facility in the future, and I'm so excited about that, right? I'm so excited that we get to give our setup team a break and release them into the mission field in our community even more, right? But here's the thing. We also have to remember that facilities are not the mission. Facilities just facilitate ministry. That's it. Facilities facilitate ministry. So here we are in a facility, and it's facilitating so much ministry. And I really believe that God is going to do, we're in an Imagine More campaign, and I really do believe that God is waiting to do even more ministry through this church. How God is wanting to impact even more lives through our church. And I believe God is going to turn on the faucet in a much greater way when we get into that, our future church home. That's why you're giving money. That's why we're digging ditches for lives to be changed. But let's not discount the season that we're in. Let's not discount the season that we're in and what God is doing and how God is wanting to move in our church even right now, right? And I think the thing that I've been thinking about is scarcity is sometimes the greatest blessing we could ever face. You know that? Scarcity is sometimes the greatest blessing that we could ever face. Because how many of you know from the business world that some of the greatest innovation has happened when somebody didn't have enough? You got to figure it out, right? And so in those seasons, instead of hitting a roadblock and saying, oh God, you can't use us here, right? You can't get through and you can't reach more people here, right? We start to use our God-given creativity from our creator God who spoke and breathed life into existence. And all of a sudden, we start to find new ways that we maybe never would have discovered if we didn't press through that season of scarcity. And here's the thing. I think it's like, for example, meeting in a school. I remember people thought that was a little crazy when we were first starting the church. And people were like, where are you going to meet? And we're like, we don't know. We're going to figure it out. And finally, we realized, hey, what if we meet in a school? And what if we meet in a school, and what if we, you know, just it's strategically located in the community. It's a place where a lot of families just naturally come in and they go out from. It's a comfortable place, but it's a place that's strategically in the community. And it's like that's a huge vision of our church, that we want to be in the community where people are. But little did we know all that God was going to do through that, even the scarcity of like, okay, we don't have a facility, so let's meet in a school. One of the things that's been really cool is little did we know all the partnerships that God was going to make through the school system, all of Forsyth County schools, and the partnerships that we've been able to have throughout this whole community, that we are involved in the community in so many ways because we're meeting in a school and God opened a door through that. The other thing that's cool is even financially, when we pay our rent every month, right, to the school, praise God, right? Here's the thing, when we pay our rent, did you know that the school is able to use those funds? The school is able to use those funds to accomplish so many things in the school to impact kids' lives. Isn't that cool? Little did we know that a little bit of scarcity and just a little bit of innovation, that God was going to do something even greater. Now, here's the thing, just imagine what God might be waiting to do as we continue toward our journey, toward our future church home. God is writing the DNA of this church, and he's reminding us that we don't exist just for us. We exist for Jesus, and we exist to advance his kingdom in this community. And God's teaching us this lesson through our season of portability and innovation to keep innovating, to keep being involved, right? To keep making an impact. And so here's the thing. The truth is God will sometimes put needs in your life. God will put needs or things in your life that seem like they're bigger than you can meet on your own. And God does that because God wants to show you that God, that he wants to display his glory and his power and his love in your life. God puts those things in your life so that when God shows up and when God comes through, that you will know in a way that you never knew before that God cares for me and that God provides for me. And so what do you do when you don't have much? Here's the second thing I want to tell you. When you don't have much, here's what to do. Number two, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have, right? Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. I almost said start working what you got, but, you know, I felt like, you know, I always wanted to dance on the stage, so and I just did it for you. But there you go. Stop waiting for what you have and start working what you got, right? But anyway, this woman, she said, look, I have nothing except, and Elijah's like, wait, let's talk about that except. Let's talk about your exception. You know, the thing that you thought is useless and meaningless, that thing that you think is too small that God could do anything from it, let's talk about that. Because you got a small jar of olive oil, which means you got something. Why don't you put it to work? Why don't you put it to work right where you are? And it's interesting. Olive oil was really valuable. It was really valuable. It was used in a lot of different ways. Of course, we know it was used for cooking. Amen. Hallelujah, right? Olive oil was also used to help lamps to burn. You know, the fire marshals weren't around then. It was also used as a moisturizer. You couldn't just go to Bath and Body Works, you know, and get some lotion. You know, you'd use some olive oil, right? It was used to help things to metal from rusting and also to anoint people for religious services. And so it was useful. It was valuable, but she only had a little. And so Elisha, he helped this woman to recognize the little bit that she had and to start working with it, you know, start working with what you got. Instead of wishing that she had more, instead of wishing that we have more, we serve a God who specializes in doing a whole lot with a whole little. Not just our resources, but with us. God, what could you do with me? And God's like, just wait and see that I'm good and I can do so many things more than you could ever ask or imagine if you just put your life in my hands, if you just put your resources in my hands. See, she's like, look, I've got nothing except this small jar of olive oil. But it was actually her exception, the thing that she thought wasn't even useful at all, that God actually used to bring about the miracle that's about to come. So stop waiting for what you want and start working what you have. Here's how it continues, verse 3. It says this. It says, Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. What is with this guy, first of all? Last week we saw him, he told the guys that were in the battlefield, go bring me a harp. Like, what's up with him? He's high maintenance. Go to all your neighbors and ask for empty jars, okay? He says, don't just ask for a few. He says, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So this is kind of a crazy plan. Like, okay, all she's got is one small jar of olive oil, maybe the size of baby food, right? But in order for God to do something with it, God wanted her to gather a whole bunch of jars. You know? It's interesting because I think all of us have a tendency to kind of think too small when it comes to God. I don't know about you, but if I was in this situation, I might just kind of gather a few jars and call it enough, you know? Like, all I got is this, right? Let's just gather a few cups and that should be enough. But he's like, no, don't just grab a few, grab a whole lot. I think sometimes we don't trust God enough to do the bigger things in our lives, right? Because sometimes we limit God with small thinking because we think that God can only fill what we can see. Sometimes God wants us to have the faith to trust him and to provide for more, to provide greater than we could see or imagine. In fact, when we only have a little bit of oil, when you only have a little bit of resources, the temptation for us also is to hold on to the little bit of oil that we've got. Like, if I were to pour this out, then I might not even have anything left, right? But here's the thing. If we'll just trust God and pour out our cup for God or for others, right, with what God's put in our hands, God has the power to refill the jar over and over and over. Here's the third thing I want to tell you. Number three is this. Is when you trust God with what you have, God will supply what you need. When you trust God with what you have, God will supply what you need. God has a way of blessing it when you put it in his hands, your resources, your opportunities, your gifts, your talents. But I think sometimes when we take up an offering, it's funny to me, because we give of our financial resources. Praise God, right? That makes ministry happen. But I think what the offering really is about, what God really wants, is to put the offering basket on the floor and to stand at it and say, God, I'm offering myself to you. That's what God really wants, right? And so here's how the story continues, verse 5 and 6. It says, she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. Right? So she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Isn't that crazy? This incredible miracle of God. She started with just one small jar. She starts filling up all the jars, every single jar that was around her, filling it up with that one little bit of oil, and all of them is filling, overflowing, you know? And it's kind of like, she's probably, as she's pouring, she's thinking, this is so silly, right? Like, we're not going to have enough. This is going to run out. And she's like, all right, pass me another jar. We'll see how far this goes. And all of a sudden, she realized that every jar that she had gathered, a whole lot of jars had been filled up with that one jar. And I think it just reminds us in that moment, she realized, number three, that when you trust God with what you have, God will supply what you need. You know, she just put her limited resources in God's hand, and God blessed it and multiplied it, and God used it in ways that surpassed anything she could ever ask or imagine. Now, that's cool, but wait, there's more. Here's the last part of the story, even cooler, verse 7. It says, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Oh my goodness. Not only did God fill all the jars, but all that oil was enough to pay down all of the debt that she had no idea how she was ever going to pay. It was enough. But not only that, but God provided an abundance of resources that now this woman who didn't have the ability to work, now she had more than enough to live on in her life. Isn't that cool? Like, that's how God restores people's lives. But I love this story because it's also a picture of the gospel, isn't it? It's a picture of the gospel because it's what Jesus wants to do in your life and mine. Because she went from losing everything in her life to finding everything in her life restored. That's what God wants to do in your life, right? She went from having a debt beyond anything that she could ever pay to God completely setting her free of a debt that she thought she would never be freed from, right? That's what God has done for us on the cross. He's freed us. He's saved us. He's canceled our sins and freed us to walk forward in a newness of life. And so when we offer our lives to God like empty vessels, God can fill us and God can breathe life into us. And this is the gospel story. So I don't know what scarcity might be in front of you today. I don't know what need is in your life, but I want you to be reminded that no matter what you face, that God cares and that God provides. And I want you to know that in those seasons, that if you'll just take a step of faith, if you'll just trust God and place what God has put into your hands, into the hands of your Heavenly Father, that God has a way of blessing it and multiplying it and using you in ways that go so beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the way you love us, for the way you work in our lives. And God, I'm so grateful for the way that you provide. And I just pray over somebody in here today who is standing in a gap between where we are and where, God, we feel like you want us to be. God, I pray for that person in here today who has a gap or a need in front of them financially or in a relationship or whatever that seems so big that they don't know how they're going to ever make it through. God, I just pray that you would remind us all that you, in the middle of every season, God, you care for us right where you are, that you're walking beside us, and God, you have a way of providing, even in ways that we would never even envision. But God, I pray that you would show us your glory, you would show us your power by the way you work in our lives. But God, in order to experience miracles like this, it means that we've got to trust you with what we have. And so maybe we can look at our lives today, God, and just ask you, God, what have you put in our hands? What resources have you put in our hands? What opportunities, what relationships in our families have you put in our hands? So that you've given us those things as gifts so that we can manage them and use for your glory. God, I just pray that you would help us to be faithful, to demonstrate faith in the middle of that. And because in the middle of those seasons of where we demonstrate faith and we trust you with what you put in our hands, you show us over and over and over that you're faithful. Thank you, God, for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.